I am so glad that because of space that we have to do this installation service three times. Because it really is, they say in church history, called liminal space. It's like it's a thin space between heaven and earth, and you kind of can almost taste God and something of what he's doing. So we're so glad you're here. It's a great honor. And today is our installation service of Rich. So I want to base our comments on 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9, which to me frames out what we're doing and what God is doing in our midst. Here's what Paul writes to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 11. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God who has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, again, you want to notice here, Paul makes the point that God has assigned to each his task. And you have a task. You have many tasks to walk through in life that God has for you on earth. But we're all servants. But for me, my role has been, like Paul, to plant the seed of New Life Fellowship Church. And it's been 26 years to plant the seeds. Sorry, but it took a while. And it's been some watering, and New Life has grown. But that was my task. And my task of planting the seeds of New Life Fellowship have come to a close after 26 years. And so now the next person's coming, and that's Rich Velotis. And Rich is going to water those seeds, along with many of you. And New Life is going to go to the next place that God has for her in her history. And so what Paul writes is, it's always important to remember this, that neither he who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. But we always live with a deep sense of there's human leaders who God anoints and gifts for different things, but really, it's neither here nor there, says Paul. It's all about God who's enabled things to grow. And the fact that New Life, we've gotten to where we are in these past 26 years, every person that's come to Christ, every nickel that's been put in the plate, every small group that's been led, every outreach in the community, it's all been by the grace of God. Any spiritual vitality that's in your heart right now, any hunger you have for God, the fact that you're in this room is all God. God brought you here. God built this church. God took us to where we are. And you know what? God's going to take us forward. And if God doesn't do it, nothing will happen. And so we're transitioning two human beings that were leaders, myself to Rich right now, but there's always a sense of miracle. It's a miracle from God that's gotten us this far, and it's a miracle that'll take us forward. So I love this picture I shared last week of, here's all these seeds that have been planted into New Life over a period of time, but this is what's happening right now. Those seeds are going to get watered and some fertilizer put around. It's going to get some more sun and flexibility, and something's going to grow out of New Life now, friends, like we've never seen before. And you'll be tempted to think, oh my gosh, like what happened to New Life? And what I'm going to tell you is it just grew, everybody. Yes, of course it looks different. It looks different than it looked 10 years ago. But it's going to continue to look really different as God now, Rich comes alongside it now, and he begins to water these seeds and deepen them and broaden them, and stalks begin to come up. And then out of those seeds, other seeds get planted around the world. So we're headed for a tremendous future, everybody, as we enter this transition. But what's important, Paul says, let me just tell you this. You can build with wood, hay, and stubble. Some of that's going to get burned up. There's only one foundation. It's Jesus and him crucified and risen from the dead. And everything else is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up at the end. And so it's the crucified Jesus who died in weakness and brokenness, who rose from the dead. That's our foundation. That never changes. So today we have a task, and that task is Rich is going to enter into his assigned task, and that's to water these seeds as the new lead pastor at New Life Fellowship Church. So this process of selection, of Rich began in January of 2009, over four and a half years ago. And we were thinking of this day. We saw it then. We were very prayerful, very thoughtful, very careful. And as Rich emerged as the person that we as an elder board sensed that he was God's person, we said, all right, let's do what it says in Scripture. Let's give him a year of testing. And so we increased the weight of his responsibilities that year, and he did well. And then we said, okay, you know, we believe he's God's person. At that point, we brought it to you as a church, affirmed it. And then the last year, a little year and a few months, Rich has been functioning as the lead pastor. And so, in a sense, his job description isn't really changing, and neither is mine, but he's had a year to actually fully be in the role. So the reason we did this very careful transition, such a long one, was because we felt a great sense of stewardship for New Life Fellowship, for you, and to honor the time, the energy, the money, the sacrifice that so many of you and so many other people have made over 26 years. I mean, people gave their lives to build this church. We didn't just get here. And I don't think there's a greater way for us to honor you and love you than by carefully preparing and doing this transition. And it was to protect and love every one of you. And for this reason, it was slow and prayerful. So today we're moving to a new lead pastor. And I will take a different role. I will move from being a senior pastor. That title is disappearing into cyberspace. And my new title will be teaching pastor and pastor at large. And I will do a couple of things. I mean, one, I'll bring the seeds of New Life Fellowship to the larger world. I'll continue to do that. But here at New Life, I'm going to support and serve Rich and the staff. I'm going to be their biggest champion and cheerleader. And I will join them in watering the seeds of many of you. My wife and I will still continue to lead our small group in our basement, and we will do our thing because this is our home and we love our church. But today we're going to lay hands on Rich. We're going to set him apart, for he has a special task now to handle. And so I want to show you three images in Scripture that kind of give, a larger framework for what's happening today. The first is Moses, after leading for 40 years, he's about to depart, the Lord, he lays hands on Joshua. And it says this: so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit of leadership, and we saw this in Rich, and lay your hands on him. And now Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. And so Joshua, too, had a long preparation time before those hands were laid on him. And so today, myself and the elder board, we're going to lay hands on Rich, okay, and we're going to anoint him for this new task that God has for him. Secondly, you've got this great passage of Elijah in the Old Testament, Elijah with a J, giving his cloak to Elisha with an A, S-H. And the story goes in 2 Kings 2, as this transition is about to happen, Elijah is taken up in a chariot of fire and in a whirlwind to heaven. And Elijah, his successor, doesn't see him anymore, but here's what happens. Verse 13, Elijah then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. So a cloak got dropped. And we're going to give, in a sense, Rich a cloak today. It represents my 26 years. He's going to pick it up. And he's going to go now in his own, out of his own personal life and gifting and family, he's going to lead us. And it says here, he took that cloak and fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. In the same way, God's anointed Rich, we believe, very much. And God's going to take whatever we've done these 26 years, and God's going to use him with power to part waters and take us to new places. Because God's got a promised land for us as a church, and we're going to enter it. And by God's grace, Rich is going to be one that's going to lead us into it. And then thirdly, you've got the great example of Paul, who lays hands on people throughout the empire. But in particular, we've got a really good snapshot in 1 and 2 Timothy where he lays hands on this young guy, Timothy, to lead a church that has enormous problems, actually. And here's what he says to Timothy: do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Again, the powerful moment of laying on of hands, which will be the climax of our day today. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So today, everybody, we're going to make a covenant. New Life Fellowship Church is going to make a covenant with Rich. Rich is going to make a covenant with New Life Fellowship Church. Now, a covenant is a solemn agreement between two parties. And there are responsibilities and obligations and privileges that come on both sides when a covenant is made. It's like a wedding today. That's why today is so important. This is like a wedding. This is a moment you can't capture on a film. Because, in a sense, it's really not quite vows. Or the better theological word is we're making a covenant together. Congregation to Rich and Rich to the congregation. And it's very significant what's going to happen here today. Think of a couple that lives together. They're not married. You know what? It's like you can leave, whatever. But when a couple who's lived together gets married, whoa. It's incredibly different. That vow is no joke. In the same way, while Rich has been leading the last year and a half, and in a sense functioning like a lead pastor, in a sense, though, nothing changes, but really today everything changes. Because today he becomes the lead pastor. He's not test driving anymore. He's in it. And we're very excited. So excited I am today. So Rich is going to make a covenant to lead us and to shepherd this flock at New Life Fellowship Church that we might be transformed to the image of Jesus. His role as a lead pastor is to carry out the mission statement and the values of New Life. There's our mission, New Life Fellowship. It's in the foyer as you walk in. It's to lead people to a deep personal relationship to Jesus. And that by deep personal relationship, it's not just a relationship, it's deep. Whether you're a Christian who's riding on autopilot or you're a person who does not yet know Jesus personally. But that's what we're about as a church, wherever we go, to lead people to a deep personal relationship with him. And then we do it out of five distinctives. And these five seeds or distinctives or these are core of who we are as a church that were born out of our history. And there's five of them. And we're monastic, we're multiracial, we're emotionally healthy, we are married to Christ, and we are missional. And those five M's express, and there's a lot under the hood in each of those, who we are as a church. So, and then our covenant that you're going to make, and we're going to make to Rich today, publicly, is to support him, to pray for him, to follow his leadership, and remove any hindrances that are in the way of him functioning as our shepherd. And because he's going to, by God's grace, take us forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, again, this laying of hands isn't just a formality. This isn't just like a dead ritual. This is doing something that's creating a deep sense of responsibility and accountability and fellowship between Rich as lead pastor and New Life Fellowship as a congregation. So here's what we're going to do, everybody. We've invited three very special pastors to be with us. And each is going to share a word to Rich and to us. John Tyson is the pastor of Trinity Grace Church in Manhattan. He's going to go first, and then followed by Ron Walborn, who's the dean of Alliance Theological Seminary, and then Gabriel Seguero, who's a pastor of the Lamb's Church in Lower Manhattan. All three have got a long-standing relationship with Rich, and we're very honored to have them. So with that, I'm going to ask that we just, why don't you just stand for a minute? Let's give them all a hand. John, why don't you come? We're honored to have all three of you guys. Thank you very much for coming.
It really is a privilege to be able to share with you and to participate in this really incredible moment. And I know that your church is experiencing this moment just as a congregation and a transition in leadership, but I want you to know that there's a moment that's happening in the church in the United States where there's a lot of founding pastors and senior pastors who are at the point where they're being called to hand over their congregations. And a lot of them, through various reasons, but sometimes through insecurity or the identities too wrapped up in a title or a position, they're struggling to do that well, to be able to let go, to make way for a new generation of leaders. And there's a lot of younger leaders who are grasping for power and influence, and they're trying to get their whole hands on some leadership so they can build something for themselves. And I just want you to know that your church has influence outside of your own congregation. You know that. But what God has done through this process has just been absolutely remarkable and beautiful to watch. And in many ways, you are setting an example for churches all over the world who are wrestling with the tension of this leadership moment. And so I just want to affirm you, Pete and Jerry, for your humility in the process of this, and what you guys are stepping into, I'm so excited for you. And then the third thing I'd say is I think that this is a transitional moment in the heavenly realm. I believe that God raises up and appoints leaders. You look in the book of Revelation, and Jesus has a special word to the leadership and culture of each church. He knows it. He walks among it. And so I believe today is a marking out in the spiritual realm of new authority and a new place of influence and ministry here in New York, and I'm excited for all that means. And so I wanted to share just a couple of thoughts, and I wanted to share these not just as a one-time prayer, because these words are from Colossians chapter 1, and they're actually written as a prayer, but I want to say this as an ongoing commitment to you. I help lead a church here in New York City, and this is a commitment not just for today, but that our church would pray these things for you and continue to look for God to establish these things in your leadership, in your congregation. So this is Colossians 1. This is what it says. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, and we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, that he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So a few prayers and thoughts. Number one, prayer that God will give you wisdom and understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit as you lead. We live in a culture that is superficial and it's trivial. It lives life on the surface. And people don't know what it means to hear and to discern. They don't operate often out of a place of depth. And when that becomes a part of the church culture, the church then is often driven by pragmatics and trends, where church leaders look around and grasp and say, who's doing what that I can use to grow? But my prayer for you is the prayer of this passage here, that you would be driven by wisdom and spiritual understanding, the wisdom of the leadership and community who are surrounding you, the wisdom of the riches of church history and all God has done in the biblical narrative, but also and particularly the insight that the Holy Spirit gives. Rich, that you would get on your own and that you would hear from God himself what he has for these people. That as you wrestle in the secret place where the Father is, that you would discern, you would tune your ear, and that this congregation will be led not by trends or fads and not just by human wisdom or natural reason, but it will be led by the voice of the Spirit and the depth of wisdom. The next thing is that you would live a life that is worthy and a life that is fruitful. And I love your story. I love your story. Kid from Brooklyn, just running around doing his thing, and then God steps in and he rescues you and he anoints you and he calls you and he sets you apart for the ministry. What an incredible thing. But it's a serious calling. You are going to stand before Jesus on a day of accountability where you'll have to give an account to him for how you led and made this part of the bride beautiful. Mm. And so may you take that seriously. And the only reason I try and make that sound somber in some sense is because often the temptation as a young leader is to purely please the board of elders or please the congregation. And it feels way better to be liked than it does to not be liked. And so often our tension in leadership is to try and give an account to people's opinions. But my prayer is that you will see your primary call as that of an under-shepherd before Jesus, to whom you'll give an account. And that as you keep your eye on him and that responsibility, that the fruit that pleases him will be born out of your life. The next thing is that you'll have a sense of power and endurance. To lead people, to be a leader in a place like New York, you need power. You're a gifted man. You're a trained and educated man. You have character. But gifts and training and character are not enough to lead in the kingdom of God. Yes, they help, but you actually need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for you is that you will have supernatural power to deal with the spiritual opposition that will come against you as you take the ministry of this church forward. that you will have power to lead and guard your family well, that you will put first things first and rightly order your heart, that you'll have power not to be driven by the tyranny of the urgent, by that which is most substantial and that which matters, but also that you'll have that power so that you can endure, for perseverance, to stay the course here. Most pastors leave their churches every couple of years. It is an incredible thing to inherit a legacy at a time of history like this, where someone has faithfully built a foundation for 26 years. And my prayer is that God will give you sustained perseverance and power, that you too will live a long history and legacy in this church, providing stability and faithfulness in all that you do. And I pray that you would do this, as it says in this passage, joyfully giving thanks. What an amazing thing to be a pastor. What an incredible privilege. The wonder of the gospel that people who are dead in sin are made alive in Jesus, set free from bondage, sin, Satan, death, hell, addiction, all of the brokenness of the world, by the grace of Jesus, brought into a new kingdom with a new inheritance, and that you get to be a part of this, that you will be paid money to do this. What an incredible privilege and an incredible honor. And often people drown in the details of ministry, or they get swamped in all the pressures. And my simple prayer is that you'll never lose the wonder, that there'll just be an overflow of joy, that you will lead a house of joy where that message will always be new, and that people will feel that in their hearts, that living water that's in you will flow out of you and others will be watered by it. And that the oppressed of this area, those who were beaten down, would walk in and their spirits would lift, and that they would know that Jesus is here. And then lastly, I just want to remind you to carry in your heart that it is God Himself who has qualified you. It's not just your parents' affirmation. It's not just your professor's affirmation. It's not just the elders and the staff and the congregation's affirmation. It's not even Pete's affirmation. You have the affirmation of God. You have it through the blood of Jesus. It says here that He's rescued us from dominion and we've been qualified through Jesus' blood. But it's not just that. It's the fact that all these people believe in you. But above that, it's God who believes in you. He determined the exact time of history that you'd be born to bring you to this moment, because He knew of all the people that had ever lived that you were the person that could do this. And when it gets hard and when you feel the challenges and when you feel strained, to know in your heart that God Himself has qualified you. And so my prayer for you this day of commissioning and impartation, is that God will give you wisdom and insight from the Holy Spirit, a sense of power and endurance that bears supernatural fruit, that you would lead and that this would be a church filled with joy, and that you would have confident humility because Christ has qualified you for the task.
Rich, when I first became a dean, I was at a conference with other deans of seminaries from around the nation. And an older dean was giving me some advice, and he told me one of the things that he had always done every graduation was he would greet the students as they came across the stage and as they received their diploma and their seminary degree. To himself, he would whisper quietly these words: "I wouldn't go to your church. I wouldn't go to your church. I wouldn't go to your church." And he said he knew he had had a successful year if there was just one guy that when they came across the stage, he could say, "I'd go to your church." Now, let me tell you, this was not a dean from Alliance Theological Seminary, okay? But, Rich, I want to say to you, I would go to your church. And Rich and I were remembering the first time I ever heard him preach. He preached a sermon in homiletics, Matthew 11, I believe was the text. And I knew at that point this man was born to preach. And there's not a lot of people that get to do what they're made for, get to do what they're born for. And you're doing what you were made for, Rich. And we're very proud of you. I have some thoughts from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And Paul, as he's speaking to the young man Timothy, he says, don't let people look down on you because of your youth. You're qualified, as John has just said. I've chosen you. God has chosen you. The anointing of God is upon you. But you do have a responsibility. Set an example, he says, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I want to focus on the one of these that I believe is the easiest one to lose, and that's love. You see, when you're called to be a shepherd of God's people, your primary calling is to be a lover of God and a lover of his people. And so let me paraphrase 1 Corinthians 13 in the context of 1 Timothy 4:12. If I set an example in speech and in conduct and in faith and in purity, but have not love, I'm like a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You see, friends, we have too many pastors in the body of Christ that have right doctrine but no love, right conduct but no love, even strong faith but no love. And so, Rich, the admonition I have for you is be an example of love. You see, God's called you to be a lover of him and a lover of his people. And I believe it's one of the easiest things to lose. Like you, I was launched into a lead pastor role from a pastor who mentored me. And we did a lot of things right. We did a lot of things wrong in our process. And it was tough. God blessed it. But I found myself losing my love in the early season as the lead pastor. And I got angry with my people. And I got angry with my staff. And one day, this anger was percolating. And I had to shut down staff meeting early because I knew I was going to say things I was going to regret. And so I sent everybody off to their own offices. And I left with my Bible, and I went out to a lake, and I took my Walkman with me. That's an MP3 player for those of you that didn't live through the 90s, okay? Kids, your parents will explain that to you later. So I'm sitting by this lake. It was a beautiful day, and I had my Walkman on, and I was listening to worship music, and I was reading Jonah. Jonah was an angry prophet, and somehow I was getting consolation that God used him. Maybe he could use me. And as I'm reading and trying to get some things straight with God, all of a sudden, a homeless man who was obviously drunk staggered up to my table, and I tried to ignore him. And he started talking to me, and I turned my music up louder so I couldn't hear him. And he kept pestering, and I kept trying to ignore him. And finally, I pulled my headphones off, and I looked at him, and I said, "Can I help you?" And then he said these words, which I have never forgotten. He looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Son, you've got to love your people. God says you've got to love your people." And he walked away. And I dropped my head into my hands and I started to weep because the Holy Spirit had convicted me in that moment. And after a moment or two, I looked up to try to find this man and he was gone. I looked in every direction. I couldn't find him. I could not see him anywhere. I looked all over the place, but he had given the word that I needed and then been transported. Rich, don't make God send a drunk, homeless angel to remind you of this truth. It's maybe the most important truth you'll ever grab onto. You've got to love your people, son. God says you've got to love your people. And the point of being an example of love is that examples get followed. Congregations begin to reflect their pastor. And as you set an example of love, these people will begin to love at a level that this city needs desperately, and I believe God will use you powerfully. Son, you've got to love your people. God says you got to love your people.
So when Rich and New Life invited me to share this moment, I was thinking, what is the right mental picture? What'll capture this moment in people's mind's eye? And when I ran into Pete this morning, he said something that was stirring in my heart all week, which is, it's a wedding. It's a wedding. It was further confirmed when I text Rich this week, and I said, Rich, what are you wearing? Like all men text other men, what are you wearing? We do it more often than we confess. He said, I'm wearing a tie. I said, a tie? And I knew it was a serious moment to get Rich in a tie. I've been fortunate to bump into Rich providentially, to use the language of theology, in certain moments of his life, my life. And the first time I met Rich, he was about 18 or 19. I was in my early 20s. In this small storefront Pentecostal church called Arca de Salvación. For the Spanish challenge, that's Ark of Salvation. And I remember Rich. He had more hair, less belly. He was passionate. And that exchange stayed in my mind. Passionate young person. Some years later, I'm teaching, I think it's systematic theology too, which one of the theologies, and there's a young guy in the right-hand side, second row, Richard Villodas, or as his friends call him, Villodas. And he was always asking the question, Professor, what does this have to do with the church? A good question you should always ask. And then, some weeks, months later, I get invited to a young adults ministry at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And there's a young man who married up. Let me be clear. When you met Rosie Valle, you were in the basement and she was in the penthouse and you married all the way up. Rosie got to keep her initials, RV. Rosie Valle to Rosie Villodas or Velotas. The name of that ministry, interestingly enough, was Transitions. Rich, you're a transitional guy. This church is in a transitional moment. New York City and the world is transition in leadership, as my dear new friend John has said. Transitions are like weddings. Pastor Gabe, how is this like a wedding? Well, so glad you asked me. First, you have the nervous parents, Pete and Jerry. They've raised this little girl for 26 years. They got her all of her perfume and all her adornments and her nice clothes, set up her bedroom real nice with 5 core values: monastic, multiracial, that funny E, emotional health, funny M, yeah, missional. And what's the other one? Marriage to Christ. And they prepare new life. And then this handsome young Puerto Rican from East New York comes. I mean, Rich comes. And God puts on their hearts to transition, to give over the future of the seeds of this young girl for 26 years. Shakespeare said, parting is such sweet sorrow. So let us not lose the complexity of emotion of transition. There's joy and there's, I think I read in Pete's blog, grief, because you'll miss certain things, but grief knowing you're doing it the right way. So, Pete and Jerry, will you stand this ceremony? I want to thank you because you've understood something about power. Lord Acton was not right when he said power tends to corrupt and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. He did not understand that our God, who has all the power in the universe, is not corrupted because his power is shaped by love. And love transforms power. And as Christians, we have a different understanding of power. We do not lose power when we give it. It only grows exponentially. So when, after 26 years, God has called you to this apostolic level to give to this young couple and all of the new leadership in Reed and others, this pastoral level, you understood something that Andy Crouch said about power. Christians with power, because it's shaped by love, never lose it. they always grow it. I honor you for 26 years of raising this girl right. How do I know it's a wedding? Because they waited 4 years to let this guy. 4 years since 2009. And then they brought all the uncles and aunts to interview him. Those are called the elder board and staff. And they said, make sure you ask him the right questions, that he understands the DNA and the foci of the church. Make sure he's going to treat this girl right. It's true that God gives the increase and somebody waters, somebody plants. But this transition is about the stewardship of leadership. Because you love the church and the future and the past and the present, you steward it. So you interviewed him. Then you let him get engaged. You let him act functionally like a pastor for a year or 18 months. Bring himself to it. And finally, here's the wedding. So honored to be part of your wedding. I even wore a tie. John Tyson wore a tie. The kingdom is coming. It's already here. In your wedding, as one of the best men, besides your immediate family, I'm probably one of the ones who've known you the longest, about 18 years. As the young evangelist preaching at Arca de Salvación, as your college professor, as your invited guest to Transitions and now here. Here's the words I want to say at your other wedding to you and Rosie. From 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 8, when Paul transitions into Timothy, into Ephesus. Yo me acuerdo de tu fe sincera, de la cual tú aprendiste de tu abuela Luis y de tu madre Eunice. Y yo estoy persuadido que esa fe habita en ti. I am persuaded that that faith now lives in you. And for this reason, I'm reminding you, fan the flame of the gift of God. Paul doesn't name the gift, but I'm persuaded that that gift is the gift of leadership, power and influence. And it says that it was given to you by the laying of hands, verse 7, for the Spirit of God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power. Power shaped by love and self-discipline. So I gave you a ring earlier today. You want to show the church the ring? It lights up and everything. No one has to kiss it, but just... So Rich, as you enter into this covenant with new life, honor the faith that you've inherited. Lead with power shaped by love and self-discipline. Listen to Rosie. She's right more times than you care to admit. And above all, take seriously that this took a long time to vet, because this church, she's God's gal. She's God's gal. God bless you. I'm proud to call you little brother.
Really, I want to say thank you to all three of you men. Thank you very much for the, what a gift. Let's give them a hand again. Thank you so much. We're very honored to have had you here with us. I mean that. All right, now I want to call the elders to come forward, and I want to call Rich to come forward. So what we're going to do now is, again, this is a covenant that's going to be made. It's almost like a wedding. And now we come to the most important part of the service. And that's the exchange of a covenantal agreement, Rich, with you as a congregation, and the congregation then will also make their covenantal agreements with Rich, and you'll stand for that after Rich does his. And so, great, fantastic. Rich, Philotas, New Life Fellowship has chosen you and has affirmed their trust in you. As a lead pastor in God's church, you are called to proclaim Christ's resurrection, to preach the gospel, and to testify to Christ's sovereignty as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You are called to guard the faith, the unity, and the discipline of the church, to celebrate and to provide for the administration of the sacraments in the new covenant. You're called to lay your hands on others carefully and prayerfully for leadership, and in all things to be a faithful pastor and an example to the flock of Jesus Christ. Amen. With your fellow pastors, you will share in the leadership of the church throughout the world. You now join those of every generation who have served in leadership among God's people since the beginning of time. So now I'm going to read a number of statements, Rich. I want to invite you to respond to them. Rich, will you accept this call to be lead pastor and to fulfill this trust in obedience to Christ?
Yes, I do.
Rich, do you believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and to contain all things necessary to salvation?
Yes, I do.
Do you commit to model the New Life Fellowship rule of life, leading the church out of a deep interior life with God and leading out of a marriage with Rosie that reflects the union of Christ and the church?
By God's grace, I will.
Do you commit to shepherd New Life Fellowship so she can fulfill her mission by providing leadership, aligning the many parts of New Life into a cohesive whole, building team unity, sustaining a healthy environment that serves as a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven?
By God's grace, I will.
Will you be faithful in prayer and in the study of Holy Scripture that you may have the mind of Christ?
By God's grace, I will.
Will you promise to feed the flock of Christ committed to your charge, to guard and defend her in his truth, and to be a faithful steward of his holy word?
By God's grace, I will.
As lead pastor, will you encourage and support all people in their gifts and ministries, nourishing them from the riches of God's grace and holding them in your heart in prayer without ceasing?
By God's grace, I will.
Will you guard the faith, unity, and discipline of the church of God?
By God's grace, I will.
Will you share with your fellow elders and pastors in the governing of the church? And will you carefully appoint godly shepherds and leaders who will join with you to serve and expand Christ's kingdom in and through New Life Fellowship to the world?
By God's grace, I will.
All right, last one, Rich. Will you be merciful to all, show compassion to the poor and strangers, and defend those who have no helper?
By God's grace, I will.
Thank you. So now I want to ask you as a congregation, as Rich has made his covenantal agreement before you, I'm going to invite you as well now to do the same. So I'm going to invite you all to stand with me first. Now, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders. Put yourselves under their authority. They keep watch over you. They know they are accountable to God for everything they do. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Amen. For that would be of no advantage to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a statement on to you, and then you're going to follow with the words aloud, we will. All right? Let's begin. Will you, New Life Fellowship Church, receive this messenger of Jesus Christ sent by God to serve New Life Fellowship as her lead pastor?
We will.
Will you pray for him, help him, and honor him in this large responsibility as lead pastor of New Life that has been given to him by God?
We will.
Will you in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We will.
Will you love him, pray for him, and forgive him?
We will.
Will you offer him patience, kindness, and understanding in difficult times?
We will.
Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with an open heart and to follow his leadership as he shepherds New Life Fellowship into the future God has ordained for her?
We will.
And do you promise to serve him and his family so that the kingdom of God might expand through his leadership?
We will.
Thank you. You may please be seated. Now we have three gifts we want to give Rich. Now, when Elijah, the prophet, was caught up in a whirlwind up to heaven, he left his cloak behind, and Elijah, the person who was his successor, took the cloak, and then he went and parted the Jordan, and did all kinds of great things. So we don't have a cloak, but we do have three symbolic gifts that I would like to give Rich here as he takes the mantle now forward. The first is going to be a candle, a big candle. Rich. So this candle, Rich, is to remind you that to lead New Life out of a deep place with God. Silence, solitude, Sabbath, that you're living your life out of a quietness of spirit before him, out of which you lead this large church into the world. And that you'll remember with this candle, your highest call is to lead from that place. Our second gift is a staff. It's big. And Rich, it's because you are now going to lead and pastor this flock. And when this flock gets crazy and may go down tracks that you don't want them to go, we invite you to take this staff and hit them and to bring them back to Jesus. And then we have a book. And this book is called The Love of Learning and the Desire for God by Jean Leclerc. He's a French Trappist monk, scholar. And it's called A Study of Monastic Culture. And Rich, this book is also symbolic. We know you love to learn, but what monastic culture, monastic theology was formed from the Desert Fathers onward, and it came out of it wasn't just an articulation of things like the Trinity and the Nicene Creed. It was a prayed theology. And so our prayer in giving you this book, that you will continue to love learning and couple that with a passionate hunger and thirst for God. And that when you preach and lead, you'll lead from a place of depth because the words in which you give us will come out of a life of prayer and devotion to Jesus. So, for you. And so with that, we're going to now pray for Rich. And so I want to invite Rosie and all the pastors who come to this service to come up front around us. And Rich, I'm going to invite you to kneel before us. And we're going to offer our prayers to Almighty God as we ordain Rich for the work to which the Holy Spirit has called him. Amen. And so I'm going to invite Andrew, who's been the head elder for many years, to pray first, and then followed by Gabriel, and then I will close. And so I want to invite all of you to stand. And if you'd like, you could extend your hands out toward Rich as we pray for him and lay our hands on him before the Lord.
So thank you, Father. And Rich, as John was speaking today about the impact that this moment in history has in the heavenlies, there was a gate that opened. It opened wide. And along the road was God's word. And his word is a lamp unto your feet. And as you walk on that road that he's invited you to Rich, that you gain strength and courage and perseverance from the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that his hand always be upon you. And that you never despise small beginnings. Mm. You never despise the call that is on your life. And never despise the revelation that has been placed in Rosie's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that this afternoon and this day is a day of divine impartation, that you give him love, wisdom, authority, influence, that he preach the gospel in season and out of season, that he live a life worthy of such a high calling, that you protect and provide for Rosie and for Caris and for every good need that he has. So, Rich, I urge you to preach the gospel in a way that teaches the mind, heals the heart, and moves the will. Mm. I charge you as a son of the church and a messenger of the ministry of reconciliation that you be slow to speak and quick to listen, and that you build bridges across races and class and culture, and that you be used in the same anointing with a double portion as your predecessor, and that new life's best days and greater days, amen, that the glory of this house be greater than its former glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' matchless name, amen.
And so, Rich, in the authority of New Life Fellowship Church, the congregation in 26 years of history, I now anoint you in the name of Jesus as a lead pastor of this flock, to take us into the promised land that God has ordained for us. And may all the anointing that's been gathered up over these 26 years of every fire, every failure, every success, and every mountaintop, may every anointing that God's ever poured out in this place, may through our hands right now be poured out into your soul. And may the Lord enlarge the container of your heart to receive every drop of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you may lead not in human power, but in the power of the living God by the Holy Spirit. And may the name of Jesus be glorified through your life. And may you fulfill the destiny that God has ordained for you from all of your days. And so we bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
Let's give a round of applause to Rich. I'd like to present this to Rosie. Rosie, we love you. And we want you to know that the greatest gift that you can give us is to be you. We don't want you to be anything but you. And so receive this as a gift of our love to you. And so, you know, let's make it official now. For the first time, I would like to present to you officially the lead pastor of New Life Fellowship Church, Richard Velotis. Please be seated, everyone. Congratulations. Before Rich says a few words, we'd like to begin, in a sense, his tenure now with a little video.
Thank you. This past week, I've been trying to capture what are some opening words that I should say after this whole installation. And I began to think about the Emmys and MTV Music Awards and BET and all of that. And I thought it would be fitting in a church to say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, that would be a good way to start it off. They say it on BET, I might as well say it in the church, you know? As I've been thinking about what are some words that give expression to what I feel at this moment in my life and in my family's life, I think there are three words that express and capture what's happening inside of me. First word I think about is that I am grateful. I'm incredibly grateful and thankful. I'm grateful to God that He's opened up an opportunity for me to lead this beautiful church into the future. I'm grateful because this is a sheer gift. This is a sheer grace of God. This is not something that I have earned. This is unmerited favor. And I'm grateful to God and thankful for this church and elders and for believing in me and giving me an opportunity to take our church to the future. I'm also humbled. I'm a kid from East New York, Brooklyn, just 15 minutes away from here. A neighborhood when I grew up, which was filled with violence and drug addiction. No one wanted to live in East New York growing up. I thought of East New York when I think of Nazareth in the New Testament. When they heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, they would say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What good is going to come out of Nazareth? And that's what the world and this is what the city thinks of East New York. What's going to come out of East New York? And yet my beloved community, that beautiful neighborhood that I was shaped in and played football in the street and learned different games and all of that there, I am humbled that even with all of this function of that community, that God would give me an opportunity like this. And I'm excited about our future. I'm excited about where we've been, about where we are and where we're going. And I think we have an incredible future before us. I think we're on the cusp of something incredible in this generation. And that God's going to do something remarkable in New York City in the years to come. I'm excited that we all get to be a part of it in this generation. And so before we close, I want to invite the worship team to come forward because I don't know of a better way to end our gathering such as this than with singing and with celebration. But before we sing and celebrate, there are just a few folks I want to acknowledge and thank. First off, I want to thank Pete and Jerry. For the almost last 6 years, they have mentored Rosie and I. They have stretched us. They have challenged us. They have loved us. They have encouraged us. They have given us opportunities to grow here in profound ways. And our marriage has been deepened over these past 5-6 years because of their presence in our lives. When we came to New Life, our marriage was not on the brink at all. We were married 2 years. We've been married 7 years now. But we had issues. And we were able to get discipled in our marriage and learn how to love each other in a way that would be honoring to each other and honoring to God. And so I'm grateful for Pete and Jerry's life. I'm also thankful for Pete and the ways that he has positioned our church. I don't know if you understand the ways behind the scenes, all the things that Pete has done to prepare our church for the future so that we would have a bright future going into the years to come. And he has done incredible work up front and behind the scenes that you have no clue about that has positioned this church to go forward. And so I'm thankful for both of you. I'm thankful for our elder board, a group of wise and godly men and women who have led us for 26 years and who have delicately and gently led us through this transition over the last 4 years. They have challenged me, they have stretched me, they have loved me, And I'm thankful for many of the elders in this room that have poured out so much of their life and soul in ways that many people do not even know. And the ways that they've served and shepherded alongside Pete and staff here. And so I'm grateful for our elder board. I'm grateful for Red Sevilla. Truth is, if Red was not on staff, I don't know if I could do this job well. Over the last year and a half, Red has led our Community Development Corporation, which is massive. In addition to that, he has overseen our finances and our administration. He's been the number two guy with me, carrying a significant weight at New Life. And I'm so grateful to God that God brought him here. And I believe that he is one of the finest leaders you will ever meet. And the world soon enough will get to see the tremendous gift that we have in him. I want to thank the amazing church we have. I was talking to my mother earlier this week, and my mother was talking about how change, oh man, I don't like change and this and that. And I imagine there are a lot of us in this room that resist change. Pete has been your senior pastor, your lead pastor for 26 years. Many of you, he's been the only pastor that you've had. And it's been a disorienting experience, I imagine, for many of you, because it's change. And yet you have stuck it out, and you're here. And I thank God for you and for the amazing future we have together. And a couple more. I thank God for our staff, a wonderful staff team that does an amazing amount of work. Over 20 folks here that help me lead our church in profound, deep ways. I'm thankful for our staff. I'm thankful for my parents. They're here, my siblings. My parents have loved me and encouraged me in deep and profound ways since I can remember, since the days of Pee Wee League and Star City, Brooklyn, and Spelling Bees and all of that. They have been my number one fans throughout my entire life. No matter what I was involved in, they were there for me, encouraging me and affirming me. So much so, my dad would want to get behind me. Whatever I did, he wanted to get behind me 100%. And growing up, my father was a DJ, and I was a rapper. This is a true story. I said, Dad, I want to rap. You know, I'm third grade and fourth grade. I'm 10, 11, 12 years old. I want to rap. I want a gold chain. I want to be a rapper. And my dad, with me as a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, he'd take me to clubs where he was DJing at midnight to do talent shows with him. Not great parenting, but the man loved me. Thank you, Dad. I do have the best parents in the world. I really do. And finally, I want to thank God for Rosie. I told Rosie the other night, I believe one of the reasons that he brought us together was because of this transition. Because God knew that I needed someone like Rosie by my side. Because it wasn't going to happen without her. Rosie brings tremendous strength to me. She challenges me. She encourages me. She disagrees with me and doesn't apologize about it. It's not good. She's in my anchor. She's been the joy of my life. And as I told her behind closed doors, I wouldn't want to walk through this journey with anyone else by my side. And so I love you, honey. Now, next week I'm going to start a series on our vision and our values. What make New Life Fellowship, who we are, who are we called to be, and what are we called to do? And so next week I'm going to start out a series. And so if you are part of our community here, you do not want to miss it. We're going to start looking at what we've done. Those five M's, we're going to talk about them again in fresh ways and really reimagine and rethink. What does it mean to be the church in Queens, New York City in 2013, 2014? And so I'm excited to do that. But there's no better way than to end our gathering than with song and celebration. And so I want to invite you to stand. Let's walk out of this place singing.
Amen. All right, now, As we close our service here, the Lord's table is to your right to eat and drink of Christ, and you're welcome to come to that. And one of the great advantages of being here for the third service is the reception party is downstairs right after this service. So we want to encourage you, if you have children, please pick up your kids first, then go down and have a bite to eat, all right? Please don't leave those children's workers there while you're having a fantastic time downstairs. So Rich will be there, and Rosie, you get a good chance to hug them and embrace them, and thank you. So Rich, why don't you come, and let's have our lead pastor give us a blessing as we call it a day. Thank you, Rich.
As we close, I want to invite you to open your hands towards heaven. This is a posture of receiving blessing. And the world is consumed with grasping. The life of a Jesus follower should be one of receiving. And so with your hands and your hearts in a posture of receiving, brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of the living God, may the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. And may he shine his face upon you. And may he flood you with peace. And may you walk out of this building in the power of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the truth that he is alive. And may you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the power of his kingdom, that wherever you go this week, you might be an extension of the love and the power of Jesus. And so I bless you all in this room, in the strong, in the beautiful, in the resurrected name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless everybody.